Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as James, he's our guy.
We still got James Harden. Our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win now situation, that's great. I'm a win now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
No Harden club videos were leaked last night, and we're going to consider that a win. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at ClutchCityControlRoom.com. Given the goings-on of the last 48 to 72 hours, I opted to delay recording this episode just on the off chance that we had another breaking video of James Harden still in Vegas, still clubbing it up at like 4 in the morning. And thankfully, we did not get that. So that's actually a huge weight lifted off of my shoulders and probably your shoulders, wondering what in the hell is going on with the Rockets franchise player. Now, I was pretty rough on Harden in the last episode, and personally, rightfully so. I'm still of the belief that his actions are not exemplary of a leadership caliber player, of a player who has the responsibilities that he does within this franchise. And, you know, if it's because he wants out, I just think he's going about it the completely incorrect way. Not only that, but the whole partying it up in Vegas, that whole mess, no masks, COVID-19, all of that, you know, just has soured my opinion of him as a person a little bit. And, you know, look, if he shows up to training camp, albeit, you know, a week late or whatever, misses the first preseason game, because there's probably little to no chance that he actually clears NBA COVID-19 protocols before that game rolls around on the 11th, then, you know, yeah, I'm going to still support the guy in a Rockets jersey. But like myself and many others, there's a level of not really, I don't want to say indifference, but you know, when somebody starts showing you their true colors and how they're actually, you know, behaving and stuff, you kind of have to believe them. And this behavior from James Harden has been anything less than exemplary as, you know, the face of a franchise, as a guy that fans have cheered for the past 8 years, have defended at every turn from the other 29 teams in the league, from the, you know, national media pundits who go out of their way to try to dunk on James, you know, on a daily basis, you know, a team, fans of other teams, all that stuff. And for him to turn around and repay that favor by behaving the way that he has, it's just disrespectful, honestly. Now, I will say that it's not, you know, some people are probably taking it a little bit too far. And, you know, for today's episode, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into, we've got more media day availability from Stephen Silas that we'll dive into. We'll also just kind of talk about, we'll keep going with the Harden situation because that's just the big story. I do want to talk about a couple other things that Silas hit on that don't have to do with James Harden. So we'll get kind of a palate cleanser in the third segment. But specifically, the one thing I think some people are taking it maybe a little bit too far, because you've got people who are reaching out to James Harden's mother on Instagram, you know, and basically trying to bully her into saying, you know, what the hell is wrong with your son? So, for example, this guy reaches out and says, "Miss Willis, what your son is currently doing is not right. And I know this isn't what you've raised him to be or the upbringing you ever intended for him. His actions are completely reprehensible and just irresponsible to another degree. Not only is this unprofessional, but this is extremely disrespectful to his coach, his organization of several years of support, and his teammates that needed a leader. Clearly, he has no intentions to be a Rocket, and he continues to mislead this team and front office." And this is coming from a young man who has considered him his favorite player and looked up to him for inspiration. "He lost a fan in me, and I'm sure many around the world. Please do something. At least tell us what's going on. Thank you." First, wild. How are you going to go to that man's mom's Instagram and comment on a random post calling her out for how she raised her son? That's a little too extra for me. But she responded and she said, "Not sure who you are, but I have raised my son to be the caring and giving young businessman that he has become. He has his own mind and can make his own decisions, and I'm very proud of him for that. Now, as far as his job, you clearly don't understand what's really going on. That's okay. You know, if people had their own life and didn't try to make decisions for others, we would really be a better world. His decisions in life because this is his life and legacy has nothing to do with you. He is doing the best for his career. Please pay attention and understand. He has worked hard every time he suited up for his job, giving 210%. He asked for a chance to get a ring. That's it. Anyone in their right mind in this busy world would want that. So if he lost you as a fan, you weren't the right fan from the start. Blessing to you, son." That's just a crazy exchange right there. But her wording is very telling in that saying, you know, that he wants a chance to win a ring and that, you know, I mean, it's very clear that if this is coming from Harden's mom on Instagram, that, you know, Harden wants out. And I don't think that's any, you know, first off, having her be the megaphone, the voice of this campaign of his is a little crazy. I get that she was just responding, but meanwhile you've got James Harden who's just posting, you know, cringe emojis on his Instagram page and cryptic Under Armour videos, and you know the guy could just come out and say, "Yeah, I'm done with Houston," and it would be that simple. But meanwhile we're caught in this, you know, weird limbo with James Harden where he's, you know, got the organization waiting on him to potentially show up for training camp. Does he show? Does he not show? Is he actually going to be committed? What level of James Harden are we going to get? Are we just going to get are we going to get Vince Carter 2.0 where he sulks around the court and averages like 18 points a game on terrible efficiency? Or is he actually going to show up and be the James Harden that Houston fans have known and loved and supported for the past 8 seasons? So it's not great seeing this from his mom. It's definitely not, doesn't bode well for the outcome of this season and what things actually mean. But we'll go ahead and I've got some more thoughts on this and just a general idea that I want to drop, but we'll do that in segment 3. And coming up here in segment 2, we will hear from head coach Steven Silas. But before we get there, a quick message from our friends over at Headspace. Look, life can be stressful even under normal circumstances, and 2020 has challenged us in the most difficult of ways at times, and sometimes you just need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes, and that's Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. It's the only meditation app that's advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Maybe you're just feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation just for you. Maybe you need some help falling asleep. Headspace has a wind-down session that their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. So go to headspace.com/lockedonmba. That's headspace.com/lockedonmba for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Be sure to check out the shows we've got going on later this week. We'll have Ben DuBose, the Podfather himself, on. Definitely don't want to miss that as we are navigating this entire cluster of a James Harden situation. So, as promised, we're going to dive straight into Steven Silas's media availability because, again, you know, it's so important to notice that when he's asked these questions about James Harden, you could just hear it in his voice, how, you know, frustrating this must be for him, for his first head coaching campaign to be marred by a superstar that, you know, doesn't want to be here, that, you know, has his eyes set elsewhere, all that stuff. You can hear when he's answering basketball questions or questions about the players that are actually here versus, you know, questions about James Harden, which it's worth noting, PJ Tucker joined for his first practice. So PJ Tucker's there. There was a whole kerfluffle surrounding PJ. He posted a video to his Instagram, and it's hard to tell whether it was a goodbye video or, you know, let's get it, you know, the season's around the corner kind of video. It was set to a couple of lyrics from Jay-Z, which is kind of telling because, you know, Brooklyn. And he posted the video to his Instagram, and I screen recorded it and threw it up on Twitter pretty quickly. And then less than like 5 minutes later, he deleted the video. So that was a whole thing because nobody knew exactly what the hell it meant. And then later in the afternoon, after the Rockets media availability sessions, after their practice, PJ reposted the video. So maybe he just didn't want the video up because of all the noise surrounding James Harden. Maybe it was an ill-timed post, whatever. But there was some concerns about that and what it meant. And again, you know, it was sort of cryptic because the only caption was the shrugging emoji. So it's just, this is where we're at. We're trying to read tea leaves from social media channels of these players and trying to gauge what's going on. It's worth noting because I don't have access to the PJ Tucker interview. The Rockets team did not post it to their YouTube channel. It's worth noting that when asked about his contract situation, PJ Tucker just hit the media with his best Russell Westbrook impersonation, said, "Next question," and then just kept going. And when asked about James Harden, PJ Tucker refrained from answering and said, "I'm here to talk about PJ Tucker." So body language-wise, PJ did not look super pleased. I'm sure he's still, you know, not super happy with his contract extension situation. I'm sure that he's not super pleased with the James Harden situation. I can't imagine many of these players being happy with their de facto leader, the face of the franchise, still, again, partying it up in Vegas while they're all reporting for training camp. So, you know, we'll go ahead and dive into Silas's audio right now, and then we'll circle back in segment three and wrap things up. So here we go.
What kind of a setback is it, given the schedule for this year's training camp, to have somebody that important not taking part?
Yeah, as far as timetable, there is no timetable as far as I know. And it is a setback. You know, you want your best player to be here, and there is a short window, as you've alluded to. As I said yesterday, we're working as if this is the 6th to the 23rd, so there is some time, but, you know, it is a setback. I mean, I have to be honest and understand that this is a setback, not having one of the best players in the NBA here. But I'm working with the guys who are here, and we're working hard, and we're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Kelly, you good?
Hey, Coach, just speaking off of that, how much have you been able to do realistically with the team, given that so much of your team is not there in James Harden? Or how much have you been able to do with the other guys?
We've been doing a lot. Like, the practice plan hasn't changed not one bit as far as how we're going to do things on the offensive end, defensive end, how we're going to – I mean, today we worked on pick-and-roll defense, and that is whoever's on the floor. And the way that our offense is set up with less isolations and more ball movement, that's for everybody. So our practice plans and the way that we've been doing things haven't changed not one bit.
Adam Spolin?
Steven, is James currently in Houston?
I don't know.
At some point, do you almost, I mean, you guys have a game in 16 days. At some point, do you almost have to operate like he's not going to be there for the 23rd?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. I'm kind of taking it day by day, and, you know, we operate how we operate. So, I don't know.
Brian T. Smith?
Steven, I understand this is a very unprecedented situation. have you guys discussed, and a fine probably wouldn't matter, I acknowledge that, even asking that, but fining him or some type of internal discipline? I mean, how do you and the organization handle this when you're trying to get full commitment, other players are practicing, And James is a superstar, but he's not showing that he wants to play with the team right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say it's unprecedented. I'm sure there's been guys who've done it before. I've been in situations before where we had to hold out and, you know, just kind of handle each individual situation on its own merit and individually. So as far as any sort of punishment, we haven't even crossed that bridge yet. We're just trying to work piece by piece.
Cody Davis.
Hey, Coach, second day of training camp. Can you just talk about what you have seen from John Wall so far, especially given the fact that he's coming off of two major injuries?
John Wall's looked great. He's looked really, really good. Pushing the ball up the floor, getting everybody organized, as a point guard does, hitting guys on time, on target, on passes. He's still a little bit rusty, obviously, since he hasn't played in so long, but he's a joy to coach because he is a coach on the floor, but he also allows me to coach him, which is amazing. So he's really doing a good job. He actually, in our scrimmages, made a buzzer-beating game winner. So did Cuz. So it was good to have both those guys do that in today's scrimmages.
Sam Amick.
Hi, Steven. Good to see you, sir.
Hey, Sam.
I wonder, you know, the other day you said you hadn't connected with James after the trade. So now what, if any, message and what's the communication, again, if any, from him about what this means? If it's a case of a guy not thinking through protocols and now that means there's a delay, if it's a more direct situation where he's making it clear that he doesn't want to be a part of the Rockets anymore, do you have any clarity about the message?
I have no clarity about the message, honestly. I take it basically at face value that he's not here. And what the reasoning is on him. You know, he's the one who can explain why or why not he's not here. So, you know, for me to make inferences and think about the possibilities isn't real to me. What's real is he's not here, and he has a reason, but that's on him to tell whoever what his reason is.
Appreciate it.
Mark Berman.
Hey, Stephen, how are you?
I'm all right, Mark.
John Wall, how much merit can we put into the fact that John Wall did say yesterday to the media that he's had some contact with James and he feels 100% certain he's going to be here and that they want to play together? How much stock can you put into that at this point, given there's been no communication with you?
I put stock into it. You know, players are players. Coaches and players are a different relationship. So the only relationship that I have with James is the fact that he was one of the people who, in the interview process, recommended that I get the job. So that's the relationship that I have. I assume the relationship that he has with John goes a lot further down the road. So for that communication to happen doesn't surprise me. And we'll see when he gets here.
Do you have an update on P.J. Tucker?
Yeah, P.J. was here today, and it was great to see him.
Haley Griffin. Hey, Coach. Yesterday, you said that something that stood out to you was the veteran savvy of Eric Gordon. He has talked about how last season was a little frustrating for him, dealing with the injuries. He couldn't really get into a rhythm. What has stood out to you about how Eric has played early on through practice?
Well, we've been doing 80% defense, and he is like I didn't realize what a good defender he is playing against him. I mean, he closes out, great technique. He's strong, he's quick. He has very good defensive instincts. And then on the offensive end, he can shoot, obviously. And you know, his job has been to shoot and attack closeouts. But he has some game on the offensive end, which is really good to see. And the way that we're playing, spaced out, five out, and multiple guys touching the ball, it's good for him to either turn the corner or shoot the shot that's created by a teammate. So I've definitely been very happy with what he's been doing on both ends of the floor and look for it to continue.
We'll take two more. Kim Davis.
Hey, Coach, can you talk about just, you know, I know you said a bit about it before, you're working a lot on defense, but just what you're seeing from so many new pieces together and how you feel about the progress since any day now you guys will be starting training camp games?
Yeah, it's a process. You know, we, like as you said, we have a group of guys who haven't necessarily been together for very long, and they're big pieces of what we do. So we've been spending a lot of time on the defensive end and trying to get guys on the same page. But the offensive part is a work in progress because, you know, whether Christian Wood is going to roll or pop and pick and roll is something that John Wall has to feel and go through a bunch of times, and they have to create that bond and create that synergy between the two of them. So there's a lot of situations like that. That's just one, but there's a lot of situations like that where it's just going to take time for the guys to learn each other, and up to me to, you know, we had a good film session before practice today so they could really get a feel for what I'm looking for, and then they could communicate with each other as far as, you know, how they can help each other play better.
And that's going to do it for new Rockets head coach Steven Silas. So coming up in just a second, we will have our final segment. But first, a quick message from our friends over at Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, you can break through it with Built Go every single day. Built Go is the best workout gel that's on the market right now. It's basically like 5-hour energy without that same crashing feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's way better for your body. Think of it like drinking a Monster, but with just a third of the caffeine and significantly better results. They come in three delicious, awesome flavors: chocolate mint, chocolate coconut, my personal favorite, the one you cannot go wrong with, trust me, peanut butter honey. You know, they're in these little 1.5-ounce packages. You can keep it in your pocket throughout the day, toss it in your gym bag, your briefcase, wherever you need to carry it. That way you can have quick access to it to help you power through your day. And you can check it out. Just visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Now, kind of following up on the Silas audio, you know, a couple things that stand out is one, of course, you know, he just, you can tell he's pretty fed up with the Harden situation. That's easy to infer. Just, you know, you can tell from the tone in his voice when he's asked those questions, you know, how frustrated it must be for him. But when he's, you know, the other element is, you know, he's thoroughly impressed with the guys that he does have, you know, impressed with where John Wall is at physically right now. And to me, the important part is, you know, he's saying that they're focusing on like 80% defense right now, which is interesting coming from him. You know, he's an offensive minded head coach, and, you know, coming in, he said that he wasn't going to make too many tweaks to the offense. But the biggest issue is James Harden is a gigantic part of this offense. You know, whether he likes it or not, you know, they can't exactly focus on too much offense stuff. So it's on the surface, it's great that he's saying that they're focusing on defense. But what I'm inferring from that is, yeah, we're focusing on defense because it doesn't really matter what we do offensively right now, because James Harden is a big part of what we're trying to accomplish there. Now, maybe I'm reading that wrong. Maybe they really are just focusing defensively, and that would have been the case had James Harden reported to camp on time, you know, instead of what's going on currently. But it is good to hear that they are actively working on that side of the ball, and that his relationship with Eric Gordon seems extremely strong. It seems like he's leaning on Eric quite a bit, you know, as his as a first-time head coach, and that veteran presence from Eric Gordon bodes really well moving forward for Steven Silas in this position. Now, I do think it's worth mentioning, kind of pivoting from the Silas questions, is that regarding the James Harden situation, Tim McMahon and Zach Lowe were on an ESPN podcast, and this was after this media availability took place, and Zach Lowe kind of dropped the news that there are executives from around the league of other front offices who are concerned about the precedent that this James Harden situation is setting across the league. And I myself am concerned. Look, I appreciate and I am all for the player empowerment era in this day and age in basketball. You know, it's been this way for about a decade. Things kind of got set into motion with LeBron James and him, you know, teaming up in Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. But at the same time, this is a very dangerous precedent being set by James Harden, who, again, is 2 years out from his player option. So he's trying to force his way out of Houston 2 years ahead of schedule. We've seen players try to force themselves out, you know, with a year left on their contract or half a season left on their contract, and they just kind of mail it in. But again, James Harden has 2 years left on his deal. Do you really think that the Rockets would have, you know, completely mortgaged their future with the Russell Westbrook trade had they had any inclination, any idea that James Harden would be forcing his way out just 1 year later? They absolutely would not have done that. Hell, they might have traded James Harden for the best possible package instead of trading Chris Paul. That might be a bit of a stretch. But legitimately, they wouldn't have done that because they thought James Harden was here for the long haul. And so hearing that there are other executives who are, you know, pressuring the league office trying to say, hey, you might need to step in and do something is interesting because right now, technically no rules have been broken. We're still waiting to see if James Harden shows up to training camp, what shape he'll be in, how committed he is, all that stuff. But everything, all the evidence that we have up to this point is not very promising. Now, again, I'd love to be wrong. I would love for James Harden to walk through that door and, you know, put in another MVP caliber season alongside his new supporting cast, because at the end of the day, I just think that Silas and this group of guys deserve a chance from him, right? And that's what the most frustrating element of all this is, that he's not even willing to give it a chance at this point, it seems, on the surface. And we haven't even gotten into, you know, the possibility of, you know, suspensions or, you know, him losing out on money by not playing in games, all this different stuff. Because at the end of the day, the Rockets' best case scenario is for him to at least run it back for one more season. Because there's going to be better trade destinations for James Harden next summer or next offseason rather than right now before the start of the season or even later on at the trade deadline. There's going to be, the Ben Simmons offer is still probably the best one on the table, but there's some other offers out there, potentially, you know, Jaylen Brown with the Celtics. You can go a little bit further down the list. You can say maybe some form of a Tyler Herro package from the Miami Heat, maybe a Michael Porter Jr. package from the Nuggets, you know, Porter Jr., Gary Harrison. Obviously, all these packages would be including picks, but you know, there's no reason for the Rockets to pull the trigger on that deal at this point in time. And the craziest part of it all to me, and I voiced this on Twitter late last night, is that Harden is trying to force himself out to get, yes, a in his mind, a better opportunity for a ring with the Brooklyn Nets, but it's not even a surefire thing. You know, there are question marks surrounding Kevin Durant. You know, is he still the same Kevin Durant after the Achilles tear? You know, what's the fit? What would the fit be like between James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving? You know, that fit is not anywhere near as seamless as the fit was with KD, Curry, and Klay, because Curry and Klay are largely off-ball style players. You know, Kyrie's a guy who wants the ball in his hands. Harden wants the ball in his hands. KD thrives with the ball in his hands. Like, it's a little crazy that he would be leveraging his entire legacy as a Houston Rocket, because I think that's what things are moving towards right now, is James has behaved in such a way, and if he succeeds in forcing his way out and getting to the Brooklyn Nets, that he will have poisoned a large chunk of the Rockets fan base. Now, there may still be some Rockets fans that, you know, will support James Harden, you know, until the day they are no longer on this earth. And that's very possible. But legitimately, it doesn't make sense, because if he does leverage his way to a new organization, whether it's the Nets or another team, and then doesn't win a ring, then he goes down ringless. And he also turned the fan base that is largely the team that people will always associate him with, because he's a Houston Rocket. Like, I'm sorry, people still associate Kevin Durant with OKC. Like, he, you know, and even though he won his rings with the Warriors, people associate KD with OKC. People will always associate James Harden with the Houston Rockets because he spent 8 years in Houston, and potentially more, depending on how things play out. So, and he will have turned that fan base against him in pursuit of this ring. Whereas he could have just stayed in Houston, run it back one, maybe two more years, and then gone ring chasing. And with the permission of the franchise, they would have been like, you know what, your contract's up. We would love to keep you, but if you want to pursue rings elsewhere, if you want to try to ring chase at 33 years old, go for it. And even at 33, James Harden could still be a top player on a championship team. But he's trying to force his way out right now. And the worst part of all of it is the Rockets don't have to concede. They don't have to trade him. So they could just hold on to him for 2 years, and he burns those 2 years in a Rockets jersey or not wearing a Rockets jersey, sitting on the sidelines, not playing games. Anyways, it's just mind-boggling to me. Whatever this thought process is that went on in James Harden's head that said, you know what, this team isn't worth it, you know, I'm done, is crazy. Whatever pushed him to wanting out is unbelievably crazy to me. And again, he could have had the adoration of an entire fan base for the rest of his walking days on this earth. And it right now, the way everything is trending, it looks like he is going to squander that support based on his preference to not be playing in Houston anymore. So that's just, you know, it's tough. It's tough when a franchise star, you know, wants out. And there's still a sliver of hope. There's still the belief that, you know, once he shows up, once he actually gets to working with Steven Silas, once he sees his teammates, once he's with that group of guys, once Gerald Green wraps one of his awesome, you know, tattooed arms around James Harden's shoulders, then, you know, maybe he'll remember what it's like to play for this city, to play for the Houston Rockets, and he'll buy in for one more season, and we get to see what this group of guys can actually accomplish together. That's the hope. And there's, you know, holding on to that little bit of hope is pretty much what Rockets fans have, because if that doesn't play out, if Harden decides to continue this behavior, then it's going to be a very bumpy season for the Houston Rockets. And let's face it, they said that they were willing to get uncomfortable, and things are entirely uncomfortable at this point in time. So for today's episode, that's going to be where we wrap things up. We will keep you posted on all the drama surrounding the James Harden situation, everything going on regarding that, and what it all means moving forward for this Rockets team, as always, right here at Locked On Rockets. But for today's show, that's going to do it. So as always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.